living fiction. Northwestern University, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company, brings you a radio dramatization of a timeless story, The Rise of Silas Lapham, by William Dean Howells, another in a series of living fiction.
The self-made man is a familiar American figure. As early as 1875, he was recognized and respected as a solid citizen. Recognized by all. That is, by all save a certain Brahmin gentry, the gentleman born of Boston. So it was that for many years, the life of Silas Lapham, the mineral paint king, his wife and two daughters in their home in the south end of Boston were never remotely touched by the life and manner of the Bromfield Corys in their aristocratic mansion on the hill. The fact that Silas could have bought the Corys 10 times over was of no matter. The criteria here were things called birth and breeding, assets in which, according to the Cory standards, the Laphams were totally bankrupt. But then events took a strange turn. Silas decided to spend some of his wealth on a new home in the Back Bay section, with the thought that it might be of social benefit to his two daughters. And a few months later, young Tom Cory applied to Colonel Lapham, as he was called, for a position. It seems that Tom did not wish to imitate his father's life of genteel leisure. But to say the least, his action caused much speculation in both the Cory and the Lapham households.
Now, Silas Lapham, I want to know the truth.
About what, Pert?
Oh, you know very well. Why did you bring Mr. Cory home with you this evening?
He came to my office this afternoon and said he wanted to go into the mineral paint business.
I don't believe
it. Yeah, you don't have to, but he did. Said just that. It was late in the day, so I suggested he come over here and we'd finish the talk.
Now, why do you reckon he'd get interested in the paint business?
He believes in it.
Oh, and maybe he believes in something else besides.
I can always tell when you've got something in the back of your mind stewing around, Pert, but I can never tell what it is. Might as well come out with it.
If this doesn't prove to you he's interested in our Irene, I don't know what will.
Oh, now, Pert.
I told you he spoke real pleasant-like to her that day we met at the new lot on Back Bay. Oh, of course, what man wouldn't? Irene, such a beauty
now,
and all.
Now, Pert, you better not start jumping at things.
Me? Why, it's you I'm worried about. If I thought you gave him a job just on Connor, he's a Cory.
Now, hold on now. He came to me. I didn't send for him. And if the fellow's got some spunk, like I think him to have, that's natural enough. I've made a lot of money, every cent earned, and I ain't ashamed of my business.
Well, of course not.
I ain't ashamed of my girls, neither. They're good enough for anybody.
Certainly they are, Silas. Just as good as anybody. Still and all, there's no harm in hoping he'll take a fancy to Irene.
Well, I confess, Tom, why you would want to go into business in the first place, particularly the paint business, is a mystery to me. But why ever did you have to go to Mr. Lapham's home?
To discuss the matter further, Mother. He wanted to get all my ideas about distributing the paint in Mexico and South America.
I see. What sort of people do they seem to be at home, Tom?
Oh, very natural and normal. They're a family devoted to each other, Mother.
What's their house like?
Well, it has everything money can buy. Although I can't say the result is very effective.
And Miss Lapham... She's quite pretty, I understand.
Oh, there are two Miss Laphams.
Well, naturally, I was referring to the younger. They say the older's rather plain.
Plain? Well, I never thought of her in that way. She's very humorous.
Really? Now, tell me, Tom, frankly, Why do you think Colonel Lapham has taken you into his business so readily?
Why, I've always heard it wasn't so easy for young men to get their start.
Well, I wouldn't say it was easy. I spent a good many hours convincing him he should take me.
You don't suppose it was any sort of personal consideration?
Personal consideration? Well, I rather hope he does like me.
You do. But why?
Because he's a fine man, Mother. Oh, perhaps not the sort you're used to.
I dare say not.
But I'm sure you'll get to like him, too, when you know him.
Tom, you're not suggesting we should become acquainted. I mean...
Well, not right away, Mother, but... Well, after I'm settled, I think it would be very nice. Well, not that Colonel Lapham or Mrs. Lapham expect such a thing.
Oh, no. I'm sure that thought never entered their minds.
Get my sash tied right, Mother, and I know my hair just doesn't look as pretty as it might.
Oh, dear, I wish I hadn't lost Aunt Hepzibah's cameo pin. It'd be just the thing for my throat.
It beats me what you women are so fidgety over. You got the best new dinner dresses that money can buy.
Now, you stop right there, Silas Lapham. If the truth were known, you're just as nervous as we are.
Oh, Shaw, what's there to be nervous about? See if you can fasten this darn collar button, Pert.
Here, stand in the light. Well, in the first place, I don't know what we're going to talk about to those people. We've never been to such an affair before.
It's just a dinner. You've eaten dinner before, even if we do call it supper. And anyway, I guess we can carry it out. If we're ever going to be anybody at all, we might as well start now.
That's the spirit, Colonel.
Penelope, you're always treating everything like it's a joke.
Now, Reen, wipe that frown away. You know you look your prettiest when you smile.
Oh, Pen, I really wish you'd change your mind and come along with us.
Mother, I told you I wouldn't the day you got the invitation.
Yes, but, well, at the time I thought we could make an excuse for you when we went in, and it'd be all right. But I was reading one of those books today, and it says it's very impolite not to answer a dinner invitation from...
Well, I'm darned if there seems to be any end to this thing. If it was to do over again, I'd say no for all of
us. Oh,
now, don't tease Irene. Father.
I didn't mean to tease. I'm serious. I feel better when Penn's around. Won't you change your mind, Penn?
Now, Colonel, it's best that I don't. You'll see when you get there. Now, after all, Irene needn't open her lips and they can see how pretty she is. But they wouldn't know how smart I am unless I talked. And even then, they might not be convinced.
Well, I guess I know better than to waste my time arguing with you, Pen. Pert, you'll just have to say she had a headache.
Oh, dear. I do wish I could remember all the things I read in that etiquette
now,
book.
Now, don't you fret. That dinner will pass off just as easy and natural as you please. Darn, my collar button's come undone again.
Is Miss Penelope still in the carriage?
No. She didn't feel just like coming tonight. I don't think she's feeling too well.
Oh.
I hope Miss Penelope's not seriously ill.
Anne? Oh, no. I mean, nothing serious.
Awful nice picture on the wall there, Mrs. Corey. Your daughter, I guess.
No, my daughter's grandmother. She was Miss Polly Burroughs.
Oh, you don't say. Miss Polly Burroughs, eh? Well...
You know, I was just saying to Cy, Colonel Lapham, it'll be nice when summer comes and we can go to the ocean.
Oh, are you planning to visit Bar Harbor this summer?
No, we always go to Nantasket.
Nantasket? Oh, yes, Nantasket.
Will you have another glass of Madeira, Colonel Lapham?
Don't mind if I do. Not one for strong drink, usually, but this is plenty good. Yes, sir, as I was saying, if anybody had told me 10 years ago I'd be building a house on the Back Bay, I'd never believed them. But I aim to make it the finest of them all.
I'm sure it will be very attractive.
Oh, it's on the water side of Beacon Street, you know. Yes, sir, I always say, when it comes to the Back Bay, give me the water side of Beacon every time. The way I look at it, anybody could have done what I'd done if he'd had the business ability and was willing to work at it. Why, Corey, I wouldn't be surprised to see your boy get ahead much the same way. Say, maybe I will have another small glass of that Madeira.
Are you still awake?
Yes, Pert, I'm awake.
It was an awfully nice party, don't you think?
It sure was.
They are awfully nice people.
Sure are.
Didn't Irene look beautiful?
Sure did.
And I think we acted proper enough, don't you?
Well, of course we did. Why, see here, Pert, we're pretty important people in this town. Guess they realize it, too. Why, just today, Pert, I loaned $20,000 to old Rogers.
Silas. To Milton K. Rogers, your former partner.
Nobody else but. He had the rights to some patent he wanted to promote. Needs some money, so I loaned it to him.
Oh, I'm awful glad, Silas. You know, I never felt you did quite right by forcing Mr. Rogers to let you buy out his interest.
Persis, how many times I told you it was an honest business transaction.
Well, I know, Si, I know. But you made so much money later, I always felt... Well, it doesn't matter now. You've evened things up, and I'm proud of you. And I'm happy, too.
Are you, Pert?
Yes. You know, I used to think maybe we weren't the Corey's equals. But now, well, maybe we never will be, but what with our new home in the Back Bay, I reckon the children have a pretty good chance of being.
Well, of course they have. And I guess I drank that Madeira just as fancy as any of them.
They are awfully nice people, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are.
And Irene did look beautiful, didn't she?
Sure did.
I reckon I shouldn't count on it too much. But I can't help thinking maybe Mr. Corey... Well, she did look beautiful. Good night, Silas.
Good night, Pert.
Good evening, Mr. Corey.
Oh. Good evening, Miss Lapham.
Now, I'm sorry, but the rest of the family's out this evening.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, it's very good of you to see me.
Well...
I hope you're better tonight.
Yes, thank you.
We all missed you very much.
Oh, thank you. I'm afraid you wouldn't have missed me very much if I'd been there.
Oh, yes, we would, I assure you.
Oh, dear. What we said doesn't make any sense.
I know, but I thought it did.
So did I. The family went to a Spanish student's concert.
Oh, did they? It's quite warm outdoors.
Is it? I haven't been out. I was reading.
Oh. Oh, I know you're the reader of the family. Miss Irene told me. She says you make fun of everything, too.
Oh, I must give Irene a scolding.
Oh, I hope you don't forbid her to talk about you.
Now, does Irene talk about me?
Well, perhaps it's only me who talks about you. Well, if you think it's wrong, I won't...
Not wrong, but I hope... Well, if you said anything very bad, you let me know so I can reform.
Oh, no, please don't change. And I have to talk of you because I get to talk to you so seldom.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, sometimes I've thought... Well, I've been afraid that you avoided me.
Avoided you?
Yes, tried not to be alone with me.
Irene will be sorry to miss you.
No, I'm sure she'll be glad. Well, I must bore her because... Well, I meant to say... To say that it's I who makes her talk about you. Oh, there's something I want to tell you. You must know. She must have told you. She must have guessed. I meant to talk with your father first, but... Well, now that I'm here with you, well, I... Oh, Penelope, I love you.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, no, not me.
Well, who else?
Well, I thought... Oh, what have you done?
I haven't done anything but tell you I love you.
Oh, don't laugh. This is terrible.
Why terrible unless you don't love me?
No, I don't. That's it. I don't love you.
I don't believe you, Pen. My dearest, what is it? You've got to tell me. Just tell me and I'll do all I can.
You've done enough now. You've got to go and don't come back.
Pen, you're talking nonsense. I'll wait until your family comes back and ask them.
No, you mustn't mention this to them. Not yet. Please, if you love me, please go. Please.
Give me a kiss first.
Oh, but...
The worst thing I ever heard.
They're coming. Promise you'll say nothing.
Oh, my promise. Pen, come back. Don't.
Why, Mr. Corey. Oh.
Mr. Corey, I do declare.
Hello, how nice. Corey.
Good evening. How do you do?
Sit down. We didn't know you were...
Well, I called to speak with you about a matter, but, well, it's so late now.
No time like the present.
No, I really can't now. I really can't now. Some other time. Well, good night, Miss Lapham, Miss Irene, sir. Good night.
Now, what the thunder gotten into him, do you reckon?
Irene!
Mother, you don't really...
What else? The way he acted in waiting here all alone.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Just what I
you
told
two
you.
You two can talk more and say less than any two women I ever knew. What are you cackling about?
Mr. Corey.
Well, I ain't that dumb. What about Mr. Corey?
I'll tell you what, Silas Lapham. He came here to see you about Irene. And then he hadn't the courage.
Oh, Mother!
Persis Lapham and her younger daughter expected the following weeks to be filled with excitement and happiness, but they proved just the opposite. Tom Corey was conspicuously absent from the Lapham home. Penelope spent her days reading in her room, and when she did appear for meals, she was so silent and swollen-eyed, her family began to worry about her health. Even Silas of late was wearing a harassed, solemn look.
Persis, why...
I'm sorry to disturb you, Silas. You know I don't make a practice of coming into your office. But I had to talk to you without the girls around.
That's all right, Pert, but what...
Something awful's happened.
Yes, I know.
You know? And you didn't tell me.
I guess we're talking about different things, Pert. What's the trouble?
Oh, I just found out about it today. She finally told me.
Who told what?
I want you should promise to hear me out quietly.
I'll hear you out if you'll give me a chance. I haven't said a word.
Well, I'm not going to have you flying into 40 Furies and looking like a perfect thundercloud at the very start. I've had to bear it, and now you've got to bear it, too.
Well, let me have a chance at it, then.
Mr. Corey hasn't been coming here to see Irene at all. He's been coming to see Penn. Now, are you satisfied?
Pert, this ain't my doing.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I'm just so overwrought. Oh, Silas, what are we going to do? I told Irene, and she took right off for the old family house at Lapham Village. I know it's killing her. Well, it just never entered my head he was interested in Penn.
Hold on, Pert. There's no cause to get so worked up.
No cause?
I'm upset, too, but we got to look at this calmly. Now, if he wants her and she wants him, I don't see what all the fuss is about.
Now, you stop right there, Silas Lapham. If I really believed you'd be willing to break that poor child's heart and let Penn disgrace herself by marrying a man that as good as killed her sister just because you want Blomfield Corey's son for a son-in-law.
Now, you stop, Persis. Don't you never accuse me of that. You've had your heart set on Irene's being a Corey from the first day that boy said howdy-do to her.
Silas!
That's a fact. We figured because we had a lot of money, the Coreys would accept us, but... Well, now we can't even be sure about that.
Silas, what are you saying?
I'm saying we don't have as much money as you think.
Silas?
I told you I loaned Roger some money?
Yes.
Well, I've been getting in deeper and deeper with him, been throwing good money after bad.
How, Silas?
Roger sold me a lumber camp in Michigan. It's on the line of the Northern Railroad, and it's been doing a land office business. But what Rogers forgot to tell me when I bought it was that the Central Railroad just leased the little northern line. And the Central wants the timber and the mill.
Well, if the railroad wants its side, don't that make it more valuable?
Yeah, it would, except the Central owns the only main line that goes near the place. So if they want the mill, you can take what they offer or try to carry the timber out by yourself.
Oh, dear.
Well, the worst of it is I can't maneuver much with cash so scarce.
Scarce?
I've been buying a lot of stock in the last few years, and it's all dropped of a sudden. The paint business ain't brisk now. And there's all the money it takes for the new house on the back bay.
Well, the paint business has had its slumps before, Silas. It'll come back. And even if we have to give up the house on the back bay...
No, Pert. Don't talk like that. We'll just have to hold up on so much fixing for a while.
Well, just as you say, Si. I've had a happy home with you ever since we were married. And I guess I'll have it as long as you live, whether we go back to the back bay or to the old house at Lapham Village.
Yeah, but we sure had our hearts set on the back bay, Pert.
Oh, Silas, I don't suppose, but there'd be plenty would help you if they knew you needed it.
Yeah, they would if they knew I didn't need it.
Oh, don't you fret now, Si. I've seen you in trouble before.
Yeah, but I was younger then. I wasn't afraid of anything. But I noticed that since I passed 50, I get scared easier. Pert, I don't believe I could pick up now from a regular knockdown.
As is often the case in a devoted family, the knowledge of Silas's financial difficulties caused the Laphams to draw closer together. Penelope ceased her lonely vigils in her room, and her humor again became a cause of laughter in the house. Even Silas could not keep back a smile when he opened the door one evening and found...
Wireen, what you doing home?
I heard about your trouble, Papa, and I thought I should be home.
Oh, there really wasn't any call. If you were happy at Lapham Village...
I wanted to come to see Penn, too. Mama wrote me how silly she's been acting, not seeing Mr. Corey, and I won't have her being such a ninny.
Wireen, it's not in the least important to me.
Oh, stop pretending, Penn. I'm not going to have him or anyone else think I'm dying for a man that never cared for me.
Oh, children, stop flaring at each other. Can't you see your father's worried? What is it now, Si?
Oh, it's nothing. Forget it, it ain't nothing.
Now, Father, we want to know. After all...
Yes, Si, what is it?
Well, I saw it coming months ago, but I just didn't want to admit it, even to myself.
Saw what, Silas?
Oh, there's some fellows out in West Virginia making paint. Mineral paint, just like mine.
Mm.
It didn't amount to much at first. They put it out raw. But then they started baking it like I do mine. Now they've struck a vein of natural gas right by their works. They can pay 10 cents for fuel, or I pay a dollar. They're underselling me everywhere. But that ain't the worst of it. I never thought I'd have to say this, but their paint is just as good as mine.
Oh, what'll you do, Papa? Oh.
Looks like I'll have to shut down the works.
Oh, what's that?
If I hadn't bought that lumber mill, we'd have enough to tide us along. Couldn't spend money like water, maybe, but we could have got along.
Oh, I thought you told me this morning, Silas, that Mr. Rogers came by and said he had some Englishmen interested in buying that lumber camp.
He did say that. I met with them this afternoon.
Well, they didn't want to buy?
Oh, they're willing to buy, but... Oh, well, hang it all, Pert, I'd be stealing from them, same as Rogers stole from me if I sold it to him. If the Central Railroad wants to buy that camp, it won't be worth nothing to anybody else.
I'll see who it is, Mother.
Oh, thank you, Penn.
Mr. Rogers.
Good evening, Miss Lappin. Your father is.
Why?
Show Mr. Rogers in, Pert.
Yes, Papa.
Good evening, Mrs. Lapham. I hope you'll forgive my intruding this way.
Why?
What do you want, Rogers?
Come along, girls. I think we've
Let the girls leave, Persis, but I want you to stay.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Papa.
Now, what's your business, Rogers?
I've come to try and put some sense into your head, Lapham. You're a fool if you don't sell that lumber camp to those Englishmen.
Yeah, and I'll be a thief if I do.
Not at all. Those men are acting as agents for a group of people in England who are interested in a colonizing venture. It's a charitable organization with plenty of money. There's no reason why we shouldn't benefit from the charity, too.
Why, those two Englishmen are a couple of rascals, just like you, then. Have you made a deal with them, Roger?
The whole affair is sound, honest business, Lapham. And I know for a fact that you need the money pretty bad.
I ain't denying that. But I'm not going to have it on my conscience that I...
All right. Don't sell to those men. Sell it back to me.
What?
Sell it to me. Whatever I do with the property, you won't be responsible.
As soon as I sold it to you, you'd sell it to that
You'd
pair.
Have nothing to do with it. Your conscience would be perfectly clear.
But if the Central Railroad...
You are not even sure they're going to buy the camp.
Well, I'm just about as sure as a man can be without being certain...
Sell it to me. It's none of your affair after that. It seems to me, Lapham, what with the future of your whole family at stake...
I don't want to hear no more about it tonight, Rogers.
I've got to have an answer.
I'll give it to you tomorrow morning.
At what time?
9:30.
I'll be there. Sharp. Good night to you, Mrs. Lapham.
Good night.
In a way, he's right, Pert.
I reckon he is.
In a way, it really ain't any of my business what happens to the camp after I sell it.
No, I reckon it ain't.
We've worked awful hard to get where we are. This sale will pull us out.
Would I guess?
Otherwise, we'd have to move back to Vermont, to Lapham Village. You'd have to go back to Kerosene Land.
Oh, I wouldn't mind for me.
Yeah, but there's the girls.
Yes, we do have to think of the girls, Si.
You go on to bed, Pert. I want to set up a while.
Good morning, Mr. Lapham.
Morning, Miss Dennis.
Here's the morning mail, sir. And Mr. Rogers is waiting to see you.
Oh, yes. All right. I'll see him a bit.
Anything in the mail besides bills, Miss Dennis?
Not much, sir. Except a letter from the Central Railroad.
Letter from... Here, let me have it.
Not bad news, I hope, Mr. Lapham.
Maybe some folks would think so, Miss Dennis, but for me, well, it's sort of taken a load off my mind. I won't have to see Mr. Rogers now. You can just tell him I'm selling the lumber camp to the Central Railroad.
Silas Lapham and his family moved back to Vermont. The paint works were taken over by the young and energetic West Virginia Company. Though they kept Silas on to handle the Persis brand of paint, he was soon forgotten by the people in Boston who had once pointed him out as the mineral paint king. Forgotten by all, that is, but the young man who was now in charge of South American distribution for the West Virginia Company, the young man Silas had recommended for the position. His name was Tom Corey, and one day he appeared at the Latham Farm in Vermont.
But you really should have told us you were coming. I mean, well, I do look a fright.
Oh, you look wonderful. Oh, Penelope.
Please, now, please don't come near me.
Oh, can't you forget the past? Your father told me about the mistake, that you thought I cared for Irene.
Well, Papa shouldn't have.
But can't you see that even if you refuse me, I won't love Irene? Besides, I'm sure her heart will mend very quickly if it hasn't already. I want to marry you, Pen.
I can't. I simply can't.
Why not?
Your family never approved of me, and well, now that Father's lost his money...
But you won't be marrying my family.
That isn't the point.
Do you believe me when I tell you that I love you?
I suppose I must.
Why shouldn't I think all the more of you now?
But well, I'm not at all what your family wants you to marry. Maybe I'm too selfish, but... You've got to go.
But I'll be in South America for 2 years, Pam.
And you'll forget me easily enough. Yes, go. Oh, Tom. Take me with you.
Penelope.
Oh, I'll never be able to look anyone in the face again. Boston will...
Oh, darling, I never heard of a Boston in South America.
Dinner will be ready afore long, Si.
I ain't very hungry yet. Sit here in the swing a spell, Pert.
All right.
This'll rest you.
Oh, I'm not a bit tired, Si.
Well, I'm aiming to put steam heat and naphtha gas in the house before winter. It'll be a big help to you.
Oh, I'm satisfied the way I am.
Yeah, it ain't exactly what we'd planned for our old age.
Do you have any regrets, Silas?
About what I done?
Mm-hmm.
Well, funny thing. It don't always seem as if I done anything. Seems sometimes like as if a hole opened up for me and I crept out of it. I don't know as I should say it paid, but if the thing was to do over again, right in the same way, I guess I'd have to do it.
And indeed, this was the true rise of Silas Lapham.
Of Silas Lapham by William Dean Howells is another in a series of living fiction presented each week by Northwestern University in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company. The Rise of Silas Lapham was adapted for radio by Agnes Eckhart. The cast and directors were students of Northwestern University. Silas Lapham was played by Bob Reckness, his wife Persis by Nancy Kafestia, Penelope Lapham by Norma Leonza, Bob Reitz was Tom Corey. Others in the cast include Marie Chisholm, Dick Swift, and Millette Alexander. The narrator was Frank Nesbitt. Jack Oswald was assistant director. The director was Roger Running. The entire production was under the supervision of John Cowan, and this is Dick Noble.